This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Almost 40 years of playing PlayStation and 5 plus years in the games media combined. We thought we'd throw our hat into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
If you would also like to join the PlayStation conversation, you could do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. More conversation happens over on our Facebook community group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. But the most conversation happens over on our Discord, which doesn't have a direct link, but you can go to the said Facebook group, get the link, and join in that conversation too. What's the last one? You can contribute to the conversation. If you head over to www.thepopculturist.com/questions, you can submit your questions for this show and our movie podcast, Popcorn, over there. We're happy to answer anything you have. And if you really happen to like what we do, jump over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you. That was a high energy intro, right?
That was solid.
Yeah.
Except for the part we kind of forgot.
That's why I have my cheat sheet here.
I appreciate
every week
sheet.
There's something new to spiel about.
Yeah, because like we kind of we've gone from ever growing.
We've gone from never doing any kind of spiel ever.
Yeah.
To just slowly filtering it in, and now that we've started, we might as well just say fucking everything.
Yeah, get it all out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, just bury the leads. Like, hey, this is what it is. Thank you very much.
Everything I just said will be in the description of the video as well.
In case you weren't aware, I have a For The Players shirt.
And a cup.
And a For The Players mug. Yeah.
Thanks for getting me one.
There is one. It's in the kitchen.
Shirt.
Oh, the shirt.
You're like, hey, check it out, shirts. I'm like, that is a dressing gown.
Yeah, because you don't like these all uppity necks.
I don't.
Has an uppity neck.
No, it's the material. Mm. This feels like cardboard.
Yeah, it's not very solid. Mm. But you know what's horrible, though? So, not horrible, but for those watching at home, you're going to see nothing but advertising on this side of the screen. Because here, the logo comes there in the video.
Mm.
So, it'll be just... half the screen is just branding.
Yeah, and then there's me.
And there's you in blue. There you go. There's branding on there too.
Branding on my laptop.
If you want some For The Players merchandise, let us know.
Yeah, we don't have a shop, but if you're interested, we're happy to sort something out.
We'll work something out for you. Hey, B-Man.
Not bad. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not playing much.
Yeah?
Yeah. Remember how...
I don't say not bad because I know you've got something brewing inside you.
Oh, yeah, we'll get there. So... every week for a while, it was, what have you been playing? Persona 5. Oh, fuck you.
I hate you.
And it was, what have you been playing? Overwatch. Oh, fuck you still.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Gwent.
Fuck you.
Because Gwent is fucking rad. Gwent has actually helped me with my study, believe it or not. Because...
that seems oddly suspicious.
Previously, you know, I'd wake up on my study day, which is normally a Thursday and a Friday, you know, and I'd be like, I'm going to put in 8 hours today. I'm going to do a whole day of the study. And I get about 3 hours in. Fuck you, laptop turning. About 3 hours in, and then I'm burnt out. I can't do the school.
We're too old for school.
I can't sit
We're
there for an 8-hour block and do the same thing. As fun as I'm finding it at the moment, thankfully. So with Gwent, because I've switched from PS4 to PC, I'll study for an hour, do 2 rounds of Gwent, study for an hour, do 2 rounds of Gwent. Mm. Gwent helps break it up. And I couldn't use Overwatch to break it up previously because Overwatch really got me really high strung.
Mm.
As much as I enjoy the game, it doesn't put me in a good mood playing it. Whereas Gwent, like I said previously, even coming off a loss, I still feel fine because...
You understand where the loss happened.
I can normally identify where the loss came from. Mm. I can identify my misplays. I can figure out what I could do better next time. So Gwent has helped me in that respect. So... I'm firing on all cylinders. But the reason I switched from PS4 to PC with Gwent, I really enjoy playing it on the console. The controls are a bit meh, but if I can play a game on my PS4, mm-hmm. I'll play it on my PlayStation. But the reason I've switched is because going forward, when Gwent comes out of open beta and does its actual full 1.0 release, CD Projekt Red have said that Sony have disallowed the sharing of your collection and your progress on PS4, so if you want to jump over to PC and keep playing there, you can't. It's separate accounts. Whereas PC and Xbox, I know they're the same ecosystem.
Yeah, essentially
the same ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But PC and Xbox are happy to share progress and go between them and, you know, you want to play on your Xbox for a while, and then, you know, the kids come over and want to use TV, or you can jump on the computer and keep playing. And Sony's been like, nah, we don't want to do that. Not, but it doesn't, it seems like it wouldn't need, because it's not, PC uses the GOG launcher, which is like a, I guess, similar to a Steam client, I guess, mm-hmm. which Gwent runs off. So it's not like you'd be they'd be signing into a competitor's account. Like, the, you know, how their reasoning for not wanting to do, what was the game?
Minecraft,
because you'd need to log into an Xbox account and PlayStation. Like, no, I get that. I can understand that. But, you know, Nintendo are like, it's cool. And then there's Rocket League, which you don't have to sign into any kind of account. So you're like, no, I'm not doing that either. So get fucked, Sony. I mean, I get it. I get it from the perspective that, you know, they don't have to. And of course they don't have to. It's their... God, this laptop! Of course they don't have to. It's their system. They can do whatever the fuck they want. But, it, you know, their reasoning for not wanting to do Rocket League and, to a lesser extent, Minecraft was, you know, they can't control the player-player interaction. Mm. You know, they can't ban someone if they're saying nasty things or do all that kind of stuff because they're not in control. But Gwent doesn't even have a chat system. Like, there's... The only way to interact is 6 preset taunts. You know, thanks. Bad move. Damn it. You know, there's nothing else. So, I don't know. I can't say... I never expected that Sony and PC would have Keep Your Collection. But
yeah, they have worked it in the past.
They have, with, yeah.
Like Portal 2 is an example.
Yeah, and the main appeal of Hearthstone is that, you know, even though it is only... It's PC and tablet... your progress is shared. So, you know, you can play on your computer and then if you're chill on the couch...
It's just your Blizzard account.
Yeah, you just grab your iPad and jump, you know. So that... For playing CCGs, like collectible card games, that being able to play it in various places, to me, is really important.
Look, I agree in terms of... Because if Hearthstone was ever to come to consoles, that would make sense. Because the Blizzard account, it's an external to any console manufacturer, right? But for this, in terms of situation, I don't see the ability for Xbox to talk to Microsoft as an impressive feat.
Yeah, but see, even the Overwatch...
The way I said it to the other day, it's literally one guy shaking his own hand going, look at the two of us.
Yeah, I get that.
Look how good friends we are. We are totally good friends. You want it on this handshake. Like, no, you're fucking touching yourself.
No, but what I'm getting at is there's no reason not to except arrogance and pride.
Look, it depends. Did they make a statement saying they wouldn't cross with Xbox or wouldn't cross with PC?
No, CD Projekt Red, Sony haven't made a statement, but CD Projekt Red have said in an AMA about Gwent is that, you know, we've reached out to all the console manufacturers that currently have Gwent, and sadly, Sony have declined.
So the console manufacturers have reached out to two people?
Yeah, Xbox and Sony.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Switch, they haven't mentioned it.
No, but I mean, like, they're like, we reached out to everybody, spoke to people. Like, and I think if they were to say, I think it's more likely... In the same way that Rocket League does, by the way, you can play people on PC. In PS4.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is more likely for Gwent. Like,
but they've got to stick up their ass about playing with...
Fuck yeah, and they
with
should.
With Nintendo.
They should.
Why?
Why not?
Why are Nintendo cool with it? Why are Nintendo like, yeah, we'll let Rocket League play with whoever the fuck you want. We don't mind.
Because Nintendo... Like, this is the same thing with Xbox, right? Microsoft are at a point right now where they just need nothing but goodwill. Their biggest exclusive for the year just got delayed. Crackdown 3 was supposed to be the game that sold the Xbox One X.
For two delayed. Out of two of the last 3 months, the Switch has been the most selling consoles. Oh, Nintendo doesn't need any help. I'm just saying Nintendo don't need help. They don't need goodwill. They're doing just fine.
But they need an incentive for people to buy Rocket League on the Switch. That's pretty
much it. To summarize, this is going on too long. Sony, get the stick out of your fucking ass and let me play games between different
Sony,
things.
Keep it there. There's nothing wrong with it. It's up to you.
Very different stances. I'm sure we're going to come back to this.
We'll totally come back to it. But yeah, Microsoft, in order for you to buy their shit, not you, metaphorical
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
They have no first parties. They have no exclusives to sell you on.
Microsoft
so they
suck.
Have to sell you on the, you know, where for the, not for the players, you know, where for the gamers.
Cross-branding gone wrong.
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
no, only, I get
that's
what
the
saying.
Only thing they can go for.
But also on your point about having a Blizzard account and all of that kind of, like if Hearthstone came to console.
Yeah, because that's entirely external.
It won't happen though, because... You don't log into your Blizzard account when you play Overwatch on the PS4. Mm. That's already not shared.
Yeah, but if they put that, if that ecosystem was in there, that
if then, it was, then it would be, but it's not.
Yeah,
because Blizzard just or Sony just haven't done that. Mm. You know, anything you get on Overwatch on PS4 is completely individual to what you got on Overwatch on PC.
Yeah,
which makes sense. Makes but then sense it's also the same. But then Blizzard could have done their launcher thing as they do to have shared content.
See, first-person shooters are very different. If you're versing someone on PC, they're going to have a clear advantage over you.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying battling against PC, but sharing all the skins you've unlocked and your level and your rank. But maybe that's a whole other point altogether. What have you been playing, Ryan?
I've been playing two things. One of them we'll get to later. I have been playing Matterfall, which is the latest from Housemarque.
I'm so glad you're able to play that game. I am so happy for you.
Josh is salty at me because when we got the code from PlayStation, by the way, thank you very much. We normally put the codes onto the Pop Culturist.
How PSN. Much have I talked about Housemarque this year?
About four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Because you stopped talking about Overwatch for a bit. So I was like, oh, we'll put it on the Pop Culturist account. We can both play it. You're like, cool, cool, cool. And the code came in. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to stream this in a couple
like
of
now.
Hours. Like now. fuck, I just put it in, right? And then as it started doing, I've gone, balls.
To be fair, you have offered to buy me the game, and I have declined because I like being salty at you and having a proper reason for it.
Metaphor's great. It's the same twin sticky shooter that they do that they're well known for. Like, these guys are probably like the masters of the twin stick shooter at this point.
Mm. What's their pedigree? They got Resogun.
Resogun, Alienation, Dead Nation, Next Machina. Mm.
There's one more in there.
There's one more in there. Why am I forgetting it? It's gone.
Resogun Star.
Oh, Super Stardust Ultra.
That one.
Super Stardust. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's more of that, but this time there's platforming involved.
Yeah.
So rather than
it's
being a ship.
Yeah,
side scroller. So the way it's explained, it's a twin stick action. Wait, it's a twin stick. Platforming action shoot 'em up.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I fucking loved it.
Sounds like the kind of game I would love.
Initially, fuck you. Initially, the controls seemed really off for me because it's twin stick shooter, right? They map everything in the shoulder buttons. Mm-hmm. And my brain, after years of playing games, your hands are wired to press the face buttons to do anything. And then it's telling you to, jumps up here now, and it's the same with Dying Light, right? You have to relearn how to use the controller for a little bit.
Yeah, it took me a little bit with Dying Light to get the hang of VR1 jump. It makes sense in context
you
of the
be
game.
Able, you want to be able to keep that spin going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the same as Metaphor, you want to keep that keep that shooting going.
I jumped in the stream for a bit, saw you getting destroyed.
Oh.
You must have been on your fifth or sixth death at that point because
mad.
You were quite upset at that point.
Very mad.
I had a bit of a laugh and then jumped out. That's what you get.
Yeah, the Metaphor is fantastic. It's the same beautiful, or visually beautiful game that Housemarque are known for. So with the PS4 Pro, which what we were playing it on, it runs at 1080p at 60 frames.
Wicked.
So granted, it's not doing the 4Ks that the PS Pro can do, but I'd much prefer a 1080p with a steady 60. Mm.
That their Housemarque style of games would benefit a lot more from steady frames than increased graphics. Yeah. But Housemarque is so good at doing more with less.
Yeah.
The games aren't graphic intensive by today's standards at all, but they look freaking phenomenal.
They do. And it's all those voxels.
Yeah.
Voxels are great.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
No, it's a really, really solid game.
Big year for Housemarque, 2 releases this year.
Yeah,
within a couple of months of each other.
Housemarque are normally pretty good at releasing one game every year, every 2 years maybe. And they're like, hey, here's Next Machina and here's Metaphor. Yeah. What?
Yeah, that's right.
Sweet.
That's cool. And the other game you're playing,
and it's only $25, by the way, so that's a really good price point. The other game that I've been playing is Uncharted: The Lost Legacy.
Save your thoughts on that because that will be topic of the show. Make sure you stick around to hear. I reckon we'll do a spoiler-free chat.
Mm-hmm.
And then go into spoilers as we usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can maybe timestamp it in the video description of where the spoiler starts and ends. So if people don't want to hear the spoilers, they can just skip forward.
Yeah, we could do
something
that.
Something along those lines.
Try that.
Because I want to hear some spoilers as well.
Mm. Or we could record a little separate 5-minute spoilers.
I think that convolutes everything. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
We'll see how we go.
Yeah. You won't get spoilers if you don't want them without being warned. You will be told. That silence is because I was waiting for Ryan to segue into
the news. I was drinking a drink.
Yeah. With your look at this.
Yeah. Because we're done with what we've been playing. We're heading into the news of the week where we inform the players.
Now, as is tradition, we're going to start the news for the players with some Overwatch news this week.
Thank you so much.
It's relevant. It's relevant. Blizzard is going to Gamescom next week and we'll be bringing a new Overwatch map and animated
right now,
short
actually.
With it.
Gamescom's this weekend. So at time of recording, Gamescom is right now, so we should have some cool shit for next week.
Yeah, we will. There are no concrete details on what we'll be seeing, but you probably know by the time this episode goes up.
Spoilers.
But we know there will be a new map revealed in the preview being shown on Monday, 21st of August, same day as this releases. While the new short will arrive 2 days later during a live stream Blizzard reveal ceremony on Wednesday, August 23rd. This will be the first new animated short since last year's Sombra introduction, Infiltration. Have you watched any of the shorts?
Sure haven't. I do love me some Sombra.
So freaking good. Maps have been coming quicker than ever with Overwatch. Only 2 weeks ago, we got the Chateau Guillard Deathmatch map, and we also got the new Lucio Ball Arena set in Sydney.
Yay.
You can see the Harbour Bridge off in the distance. Oh, that's rad. Nice. And the more Overwatch news, Overwatch players on console will receive a long-requested feature in the game's next patch, the ability to report other players for bad behavior. I will be reporting every single person that is playing Doomfist.
I will report everyone that isn't on the point. Also, fuck Doomfist.
Yeah, fuck. Hashtag fuck Doomfist. The change was revealed by director Jeff Kaplan on the Overwatch forums, who said, quote, reporting on console will be available when patch 1.14 goes live.
It's weird that wasn't there.
What?
Super weird that feature, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, it is. The same patch that has Deathmatch and Team Deathmatch modes that are currently on PCR. It's not clear when the patch will be released fully, but Blizzard have pretty quick turnaround. While PC players have been able to report players for toxic behaviour, cheating or poor play for some time, console players have only been able to use the PSN and Xbox Live's own reporting tools, which are simply not as useful or accurate in pinpointing what the player has done wrong, like playing Doomfist. I hate that character so much. I hate it so bad.
Almost had beverage come out my nose.
So Blizzard, Overwatch is firing on cylinders. Like every week they're something new. So they're really kind of, I think...
And it's not small news either.
No, it's not.
As much as I'm giving you shit, I'm like, fuck, more Overwatch. They are dropping some good stuff.
Since this whole, you know, the eSports League and all that has been done, Blizzard really... pushing it hard, so good on him. And as for reporting, reporting's cool.
It's weird that it wasn't there. It's weird that it wasn't there.
I mean, you could do it through the PlayStation and Xbox, the default stuff, but it is hard for PlayStation to pinpoint what one player is doing wrong at a certain time.
Yeah, whereas so obviously, with Blizzard internal, they'll be able to see that this is what they did.
Yeah,
this is what,
exactly. Yeah, so cool. More Overwatch, good stuff coming. Speaking of good stuff coming, Compulsion Games has partnered with Gearbox Publishing to launch We Happy Few on April 13th, 2018. In addition to the previously announced Xbox One and PC releases, a PS4 version will also launch on the same day. The game will be available both digitally and retail for $60 US or whatever that comes to down here.
$80.
It's all over the shop.
$80, $100.
Unless you shop at a certain large retailer, it tends to be $99 or $109.95. Thanks to the studio's partnership with Gearbox, the scope of We Happy Few is expanding and as such will feature a full-length story campaign played as three different characters or more with more than 250 unique encounters. Each playable character has their own set of unique benefits as well as their own dark backstory. Additionally, those who already own We Happy Few through Early Access or the Game Preview Program will get the full game for no additional cost when it launches.
Awesome.
Good guys. We Happy Few is a first-person narrative-driven roguelike survival game by Compulsion Games. I'll just add this little blurb in there for people that don't know what it is. It is a tale of a plucky bunch of moderately terrible people trying to escape from a lifetime of cheerful denial. Set in a drug-fueled retro-futuristic city in an alternate 1960s England, players will have to blend in with its other inhabitants who don't take kindly to people who don't abide by their not-so-normal rules. So the trailer for this really gives me Bioshocky vibes.
The trailer for this is fantastic. When it was shown, was it 2014 when it was first announced?
2014 to 2015, yeah.
Yeah, it was
a few years ago.
Rad.
Well, with this news came a new trailer as well.
Yeah.
And the new trailer has a very that Bioshock vibe. The whole thing, from what I gathered from the trailer, is the government forced everyone to take a tablet called Joy.
Yep, makes you all happy.
Which just makes you happy. And, you know, obviously some people don't want to be happy all the time. They all want to be angsty.
Mm.
Throwback. You get it?
Yeah, the game looked great. And I always thought this was going to be an Xbox One, PC exclusive.
It was up until this announcement the other day.
Boom!
Yeah, no, I'm stoked. I'm very keen.
And it's really
game.
Impressive that they've announced this ahead. It's April of next year.
Mm.
It's like 6 months, which is still pretty reasonably turnaround.
It's like 8 months.
8 months. Yeah. But like, it's still like it's within a reasonable...
Yeah, they had to have been working on it for a while.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. Check out that trailer if you haven't already.
Please do. It's rad.
Fourth bit of news, the third character from Injustice 2's Fighter Pack 1 DLC, the fact that it needs such a long title is abhorrent in itself. The Teen Titans Starfire may have just released, but players won't have to wait too long to get a look at the game's next DLC fighters. Warner Brothers announced that the three characters who will comprise of Injustice 2's Fighter Pack 2 will be revealed at Gamescom.
You may already know about it.
The new characters will be unveiled during a live stream on August 23rd, next Wednesday. Wednesday. The stream begins at a bunch of different times, but most importantly, 9 p.m. Aussie time.
Bing.
And will broadcast a celebrity charity competition between DJ Steve Aoki and Don Diablo. The two will face off in a best of five contest of Injustice 2. Fans can watch their live stream on NetherRealm's Twitch channel. That sounds awkward. Anytime you get celebrities to play a video game.
And DJs.
Yeah.
DJs are known for their incredible skills at playing games.
Are they?
No.
That's sarcasm.
No,
that's good sarcasm.
Totally true.
So I know Jess will be keen. I think she's picked up all of the new fighters so far.
Well, she bought Jess, one of our regular contributors. She picked up the Ultimate Edition, so she gets all of the DLC characters. She's pretty keen. She likes going back in there and testing them out. Have you gone back to Injustice since you finished the campaign?
I have not.
No,
I mean, no. I finished the campaign, and then I spent probably a good 2 weeks still playing it in the multiverse and getting new gear and playing online and playing all that. But it's a fighting game. It does wear out.
Would be curious to borrow it, but you know what? Probably wouldn't finish it.
Well,
we seem to have
turned a new leaf recently. Yeah,
we did get halfway through the campaign, so it's not like I have to go through the whole thing.
A little bit less than halfway through, but yeah.
Maybe.
Welcome to borrow it. Number five. After opening registrations last month, Sony has officially announced in a blog post that invitations are being sent out for successful applicants to the latest system update beta test, detailing key features in the process. So we did talk about the rumours.
Was it GameSpot that announced
last week?
Someone
got rumours last week and we talked about them, so Sony have gone into a little bit more detail. PS4 system software update 5 codenamed Nubunga makes a variety of changes across the board. There's heavy emphasis on how players manage their friends and families while using their PS4. A new family system rejigs the old master and sub-account hierarchy. Thank you so much. And allows for tailored parental controls for individual users. And a custom lists option replaces the old favourite groups to allow players to design their own list based on individual preferences. There's also plenty of love for those who like to broadcast their gaming, Ryan. With the previously rumoured Twitch update confirmed, 1080p 60fps streaming is now supported on Twitch for those who own a PS4 Pro. In addition, broadcasts can now be directly linked to communities, and spectator comments can now be made visible in VR mode, allowing broadcasters to connect more easily with their viewers. VR players also get the added bonus of new support for 5.1 and 7.1 channel virtual surround sound when watching DVDs or Blu-rays in cinematic mode.
Oh yeah.
That's cool. There are also some general ease of use updates. Music can now be directly shared in a message, allowing recipients to open the song on their PS4 mobile device. Cool. And notifications becoming more easily accessible through the quick menu. There's now also an option to turn off pop-up notifications while watching TV or other video content, as well as disabling message previews. That last one, turning off pop-up notifications. Anytime Alex is watching YouTube, Ryan Betson has come along. Dad, Ryan's online again.
I turned that off. Like, I went into my, like, for some reason, that was a setting when the new PS4. It's like, every time someone comes online, it lets you know. I'm like, turn that
off.
I
only get it when you come online.
Oh, that's weird.
No one else. I don't understand. So they're cool. So there was a little graphic to go along with this about the parental controls.
Yeah, explain that to me, because like, I don't have that. James is way too young to give a shit. So
what it looked like,
how does it work for you?
What I gathered from, or it doesn't change anything for me, but for, let's say me and you were banging.
All right,
we're a couple, right?
All
right,
cool.
We both have our own PlayStation accounts.
Cool.
Both have our own PS Plus, you know, separate. And you've got James.
This is a pretty sweet setup so far.
You've got James. I've got Alex. Yeah, I know. We're both getting laid. Woo. You got James.
But we have our own PS4s. This is a great setup.
So we both have our own PS Plus. My son, Alex, has his account. His profile. James has his profile.
Yes.
So it lets both of us be showrunners of the PS4. Mm. And I can alter parental controls for James, and you can alter parental controls for Alex. Kind of shares the responsibility a little bit. Instead of there just being one master account that can only do everything,
but
it seems like you can have two accounts, or maybe even more, share all responsibilities.
Parent accounts.
Yeah, so mum and dad can have their own accounts, and if dad's at work and mum needs to change parental controls on the kid, she can just log into her account and change the parental controls. So, yeah, it doesn't affect me, but it's something.
It's pretty cool.
Not quite what we asked for.
No. Yeah. I mean, there are some other cool things in there as well. Like the whole idea of streaming at 1080p, 60 frames, awesome. It's such a shame that the broadcasting screen on the PS4 is trash. Mm. Now, there are some things you can do. You can remove those side barrier, but it also hides all comments.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see what they said, how their comments will be visible in VR mode.
So if you stream with VR, if you stream natively through the console, you don't know what's going on. You just see the game. So I think it'll be like a little text. Like, maybe it's a text. Maybe you see... who knows? Maybe it's like... You know, like when TV shows and like someone's like... It's a little bubble. Bloop. Or maybe it's that.
You know, like if I'm watching a stream... like one of our streams on my phone, I turn it sideways, I get full screen with the bubbles on the side, but it covers an obnoxiously large amount of the screen and gameplay. So I don't know, it'd be interesting to try out when they launch it.
And the whole idea of the 5.1, 7.1 surround sound, that's awesome, because that is 100% that cinema experience.
Yeah.
All to me is that goes, maybe when PSX rolls around, maybe E3 next year, when they're like, hey, you can watch these conferences in VR, you get that full surround sound. You get that orchestra all around you.
Yeah. Well,
and you can hear Shuhei next to you getting excited.
What's the first Blu-ray you're going to watch in cinema mode with 7.1 channel virtual surround?
Something that's, I don't know, something like big helicopters and shit. I think it might be John Wick. Because John Wick 2 just came out.
Yeah.
I was going to buy it today, but decided not to leave the house.
Is it already on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You know why? Because it came to cinemas here 8 years later.
Yeah.
Someone go pick it up on Blu-ray. And like the sound design of that movie and how like the shotgun and ripples all around you, it would be amazing.
I'd say also maybe Kong Skull Island if you want helicopters.
Yeah.
The whole intro scene was just helicopters.
Yeah.
It wasn't trash. It was all right. It was all right for what it was. Next bit of news, Middle Earth Shadow of War will have an endgame mission called Shadow Wars. Eurogamer reports Shadow Wars
solid
will be
convention.
A mini campaign of sorts that can be completed after players finish the story and have taken over all of Mordor. In Shadow Wars, players will defend their fortresses from a counter-assault launched by Sauron. Players will be on the defensive as they maintain control over several capture points. Sounds kind of like tower defense.
Pretty much.
Those who succeed and eliminate the opposing war chiefs will retain control of their fortress. Pardon me. I don't know where that came from. Failing to do so will force you to retake the fortress and may task you with reusing the orc follower that was designated to overlord of the fortress. The mini campaign will be broken into various stages, which will of course get more difficult. What I really like to read, successfully finishing the endgame content will grant you Shadow of War's true ending, which allegedly ties the story into Lord of the Rings.
Cool.
That's cool. Because of microtransactions, I'm still not going to buy it.
Yeah, because like if you do the endgame stuff and then some jerk spent $100 and got a sweet orc, he's going to fuck you up.
Well, it doesn't know because I think this is separate to the multiplayer stuff. But I think you could theoretically, don't know, but you could buy loot boxes to get like legendary chiefs to help you in this tower defense mode, maybe.
Yeah.
But like it might be easier for some that drop money on loot boxes than it is for people that just play it without... I don't know. We'll wait to find out. But I do like that last tidbit of the true ending tying into Lord of the Rings.
I do like that.
That's pretty rad. That's pretty rad. That sounds like something to YouTube a month after the game's out, though.
Yeah, I'm
right. Fourth to last video. You've got a lot this week.
Can we just rip through some of these?
Yeah. Planet of the Apes have announced a game by Imaginarium Studios.
It's the same guys that did the CGI for the movie.
Yep.
Apparently it's very... It's very telltale-y. It's very...
Described here as a narrative-driven adventure game of conquest, betrayal, and survival.
Yeah, and it's apparently only about 2 hours long, 2.5 hours long, okay. But the length of a movie, which means there'll be multiple playthroughs, and depending on how you play, depending on decisions you make, will actively change the game.
Yeah, so it says, it's Planet of the Apes, called Last Frontier. It's set between the events of the series' two most recent films, Dawn and War of Planet of the Apes. So it's an in-between thing. Cool. So if you dig those movies, this might be a quick little thing for you. Just see what happens in between there. Destiny 2 news. What can I quick fire out of here? Destiny 2 news. That you can preload on Xbox One starting, quote, early next week, meaning early this week, like the day this show is out. Yep. So if you're on Xbox, you can
it's
start...
about a week out, so it makes sense.
You can start preloading. PS4 can't preload until the 31st of August. Now, this is weird because Destiny 2 has a big marketing deal with the PS4, but PS4 can't preload till a week after the Xbox can.
I don't know about the preloading, may be a server thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just that just kind of struck me as weird.
Maybe the infrastructure of the PSN. Who knows?
Yeah. Bungie have also confirmed a day one update will be available. It's a given at this point in the gaming industry. No details on the size. And also PC, if you're interested in Destiny 2, the release date is October 24th, 2017. And August 28th is when the beta starts. So, Chris Conway, get on that. I know you're keen. okay, so there is a pretty decent sale on the PSN at the moment. For the PSN under $30 sale. I've got some highlights here, games that stuck out to me.
Love it.
That might interest you for under $30 at a big special. Witcher 3 for $22.95 at a 52% saving. Ukulele at $24.95 with a 47% saving.
Don't do it.
Metal Gear Solid 5, $17.95 with a 55% saving.
Do it.
Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, $11.95 with a 70% saving. I'm keen as mustard for that.
Really do that one.
Wolfenstein The New Order, $7.55 with a 69% discount. Shadow of Mordor Legion Edition, $14.95 with a 78% discount. Alien Isolation, $17.95 with a 62% discount. Metro Last Light Redux, $10.45 with a 65% discount.
That's right. There are some that jumped out at me.
There's over 100 games in this thing. These are just ones that stuck out to me. I highly encourage you. The sale goes till the 9th of September. I highly encourage you check out.
Yeah, there are some that jumped out to me. Like a lot of the Telltale games are there.
Yep.
There was Elite Dangerous. It's like $20.
Yeah, all the GTAs are on there.
Yeah, the PS3 GTAs, $20 for the trilogy. Yeah. Harvest Moon Save the Homeland is under $20.
Don't know how I missed that when I was hyping this out.
What else was there? And the Batman Return to Arkham. Yeah. 75% off, down from $80 to $15.
Yonder, the Cloudcatcher Chronicles is already on sale, $17.95.
Good.
We talked about that game a few weeks ago.
I love that game. That was great.
But out of all of that, I already bought The Witcher 3. It's preloading now.
I have Elite Dangerous in my cart as we speak.
Gwent has tickled my scrotum
and
in the Witcher
universe. Season pass is like $18 or something, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So the DLCs are on discount individually, but the season pass is also on a discount. But I think I'll pick up Tomb Raider Definitive as well, because $12 seems like a fucking great price.
It's good steal.
Last bit of news for the week. The top selling games for week ending
The 13th
of August 2017. Starting at number 10, Minecraft. Number 9, Horizon Zero Dawn. Number 8, Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered. Number 7, Rainbow Six Siege. Number 6, The Last of Us. Number 5, Uncharted 4. Number 4, Ghost Recon Wildlands. Number 3, GTA 5. I don't know how it does it. Number 2, still number 2, Rugby League Live 4. And number 1, Crash Insane Trilogy. Also worth noting, Crash Insane Trilogy is also the most sold game out of every game on all platforms for last week.
Fuck yeah.
Game's kicking goals.
How are people still buying it? Like, how have they not bought it?
Because we were doubting last week. You were doubting, like, well, we can't sell that many copies if these certain games are back in there. But to be on top for all platforms, considering like Splatoon 2 came out.
A week or two ago. Really,
as well.
It just proves how very few games are purchased in Australia.
Oh, so you're sticking by your guns with staying
that. Staying by that, because like, hey, they sold 40 copies of Crash Bandicoot. It's the best-selling game across Australia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, That's it for the news.
Moving into the main Twitter conversation. So if you've hung around for the last, fucking 30 minutes, thank you very much. This is our review chat about Uncharted The Lost Legacy, the latest standalone DLC-ish game from Naughty Dog. It focuses on two characters, Chloe and Nadine. Chloe, who you'll know from Uncharted 2. Nadine, who you know from Uncharted 4. They team up to go and get the Tusk of Ganesh. So they spend a lot of time throughout India.
They didn't just find a random elephant and snap its tusk off, did it?
Sure, it didn't.
So worth noting, this will be spoiler-free until we say so.
That is correct.
Also worth noting, I have not played the game.
Worth noting, I'm going to quickly check the embargo. Give me some... Because I'm what we can and can't talk about.
Well, this goes out when the embargo's up anyway.
Yeah, there's a different embargo. There's like a spoiler embargo.
How many embargoes did they send through?
Just the one.
Oh. What do you want me to say?
No, just ask me some questions.
But you are so bad at using your phone and talking at the same time.
Fuck it. I'll be fine.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So, overall thoughts?
It's fantastic. It's pretty much what I expected. Like, it is exactly what I wanted. So, when they told me it was going to be... It's more Uncharted. It's Uncharted 4, but more. I'm like, awesome. So I loved Uncharted 4. I think Uncharted 4 was fantastic.
Yeah.
So this does... It is clearly using the same engine, the same systems that Uncharted 4 has. Mm. So there are a lot of crossover mechanics, like the rope swing, like the sliding, mm-hmm. you know, like those things are there.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to jump into.
It's familiar.
It's incredibly familiar. Yeah. Like, you know, granted, between Uncharted 1, 2, 3, they were all on PS3, but there were clear improvements on each one because they are clearly separate games.
Yeah.
With this, it's Uncharted 4 with a bit more oomph.
Yeah.
With a different skew.
Some of the... Because I've read it. I haven't played it, like I said, because we got one copy and Ryan smashed through it in one day. Well done. First game you finished this year. Congratulations. You argue otherwise, but until you prove it, I don't want to hear it.
That is on the Pop Cultures account if you do want to play it.
No, I won't probably play it. No, but so I have read a few reviews online.
Yeah.
And one of the criticisms I've seen is that the open world is... It's open world, but... It's a faux open world.
Yeah,
you can go around stuff, but there's nothing there.
Yeah, the open world moments are pretty much the same as what you get in the Madagascar levels on Uncharted 4, where it's clearly giving you the openness to drive where you wish, but it will funnel you back to where it wants you to go.
It's not like collectibles and stuff all around.
Yeah, like there's example. There's one particular area, you know, not sports, not too open where there's a big open area you drive around. You can collect things, and it's cool.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what else we can say spoiler free. I noticed photo mode, you've had a lot of fun.
Oh, dude, okay. So photo mode, I normally give so much shit to. I'm like, photo mode's dumb.
Yeah.
God of War 3, tickled my interest a little bit. I've taken over 100 photos in this game alone.
Whack. It's nuts. Absolutely right. But it seems pretty cool though. You showed me, you got some photos, some really great sights in the game.
Yeah, some really good like vistas and stuff. Yeah,
but I really enjoyed the fact that you can change Chloe's facial expression.
Yeah, so what I had a lot of fun was there were nice moments with her and Nadine, very sentimental and the kind of like hand on the shoulder. Mm. But I've gone in there and I fucked with her face. So she's like, Nadine's like sad. And she's like, yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
So Uncharted as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Is so reliant on the relationship between the three main characters, yeah. Sully, Elena, and Nate. Did you get that? Did you feel that kind of bond between Chloe and Nadine at all? Because I won't say anything, like that's pretty much what I'm asking. Did you feel that?
Initially, it took me a while actually. So I'm noticeably more in the just under 7 hours that the game took me. I like Chloe as a character so much more than Nadine.
Mm.
I think she was fascinating in Uncharted 2, and Nadine was a bit character in Uncharted 4. So having her come in, I'm like, cool, they're going to flesh her out a little bit, but I don't really care for her.
Yeah, well...
So, but the game really spent more of time focusing on Chloe and Chloe's... Because she's the character that you play as.
Mm.
There's a lot of focus on her and emotional growth as her character. Nadine's there as well, and she offers a nice support, and they do... There are clearly... It's unlike... When you in Uncharted 4, when you're playing with Sully and Nathan, like they're buddies, they're friends, like they genuinely they love each other. The banter is there, right? With these guys, it's clearly a working relationship. There's not hatred,
yeah.
You know, but there is a
mutual respect.
There's a mutual respect, like you know, I hired you because of this, and you know, yeah. Like I took the thing because of this, you know. So there is a little bit of that.
Because yeah, what I loved about Chloe in Uncharted 2 is that she had a very, I guess you could say. Relatable/realistic attitude. Mm. She's very on the nose, very flirty. She was fun, but she could get shit done. She was serious when she had to be. So as a character herself, it was all already there to build off.
Exactly.
Whereas, like you said, Nadine was a bit character in Uncharted 4. I haven't finished Uncharted 4.
In Uncharted 4, she was essentially just... She was the person that ran Shoreline.
She was a plot device.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah?
Yeah, she ran
but the company. But by the end of it, did... You know, was Nadine... A character in herself a little at
bit.
All?
In Uncharted 4 or Lost Legacy?
In the end of Lost Legacy.
A little bit, yeah. Like she opens up a lot more and you get to know a lot more about her in terms of what her motivations are. And that part's interesting. So I didn't finish the game going, I don't really care more about, you know. I thought I would end up going, I don't care more about Nadine. I thought I'd be done, right? Okay. Yep. But no, I Chloe, I love to begin with. Love them all. Mm-hmm. You know, Nadine... She's moved up for me. But there's one really cool thing, being Australian as we are. So Chloe's character is actually an Indian Australian. Huh. So for, you know, because you spend the time in India, she knows all that Indian history and whatnot. And they talk, because I didn't quite click on it straight away. Like, I was listening to her talk and her act, and the actress, I think it's Claudia Black.
I'll find out.
You know, cause she's in like Stargate and stuff. So, and she kind of looks like Chloe, which is really weird. So hearing the voice, I'm hearing these weird Aussie twangs. And it's kind of what the fuck is this? So then
you're right, Claudia Black.
Yay. Well done. They've actually put it in as part of the character of the story. So her father was really invested in treasure hunting and being an archaeologist. And he was concerned that, you know, in the same way that with this game is you get next level, like dangerous, right?
Yeah.
To keep Chloe and her mother safe, he sends them to Australia.
Oh, okay.
So that's what. So you have this a character with Indian heritage, with an oddly English accent, but with a lot of Australianisms coming through. Like, her accent dips between Australian and English.
Okay.
And it's all in, like, you know, like bloody hell, twangs on dickhead. You know, it's just like asshole. You know, it's these different inflections, and it really adds like.
What could have sold it if you dropped a C-bomb? You go, okay. Definitely Australian.
What's really impressive is there's an exact moment where she's telling the story of her father and mentioned that, you know, I was sent to Australia with my mother. And I've gone, oh, that explains the accent. And then Nadine goes, oh, that explains the accent.
Ah, oh, nice. Like,
I love it when games are smart enough to know what you're thinking or where you'll be thinking. And that's really cool.
So given the whole, you know, experiences, you know, if someone... Because you can buy this without owning any Uncharted games. If someone bought The Lost Legacy without ever touching Uncharted, maybe knowing Nathan Drake just by name, would they enjoy this game?
Yes.
Yes?
There are references to the Drake brothers.
But is it...
Because that's obviously... Because with these two characters sort of, you know, around Uncharted 4, they do mention both Nate and
But Sam. Is that integral to the story, or is it just kind of throwaway lines just to add?
It's throwaway lines to add to the world building. It's not a key plot device, which is really cool. I'm trying to think where I was going somewhere with that, and I completely forgot where I was going.
Too hyped.
Yeah, it was too hyped. Oh, that's right. So, speaking of Tomb Raider, for like what, $15, whatever.
Yeah.
This. There is a big, you know, in true Uncharted fashion, there is a big, you know...
It's always that one set piece.
Big final set piece, right?
Yeah.
So the big final set piece, awesome. But up until that, it didn't have... So Uncharted's pretty bombastic, right? But it has a lot of downtime, which is really cool. It felt like a lot of downtime.
The pacing of Uncharted games is fucking incredible.
Oh, the pacing of this was fantastic as well. Like, I enjoyed it more... Like, thinking about Tomb Raider, because Tomb Raider is just like, we're trying to be Uncharted unapologetically.
Yeah.
Like, Lara Croft is trying to be Nathan, you know, in these new ones anyway, right? She's trying to be Nathan Drake, but with a woman, and then it's the...
Having said that, she was first.
Yes, but I'm talking about in the new ones,
yeah,
right?
Okay, yeah.
Personally, I think Chloe... If PlayStation Australia, as I mentioned, for Slavi sending this copy, if they want to take a quote grab, it is step aside Lara Croft. There is a new woman. There's a new action woman.
New female treasure hunter.
Yeah, there's a new female treasure hunter.
I don't like doing this. I hate rating things, but out of 5, what do you give it?
See, like Uncharted 4, like although I didn't review it at the time, I would have given it like an easy like 9. I think it was like 9.5 or 10. Like, that was just... the game was just a little long.
Okay.
But other than that, was fantastic. I think, actually, no, fuck it. That game was a 10.
Yeah.
So this is a good 9.5.
We do it out of 5, though. That's what
I'm saying. Out of 5, in that case.
Since when have we rated out of 10?
I don't know. My brain was thinking about... I've been thinking about 10 all day. So, yeah, Uncharted 4, 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
This, if I could, 4.8. Like, it's fucking fantastic. it is almost perfect.
Oh, great.
But like, for the life of me, I couldn't even tell you. Like, it's only because it didn't have that Uncharted momentum at the start, and it kind of left me feeling flat for most of it.
Yeah.
But then there was a point, and at that point, it just became an Uncharted game.
Sweet.
It actually settled a lot of concerns I have. I was worried that we wouldn't have an Uncharted game without Nathan Drake.
Yeah,
you totally can, and it's still amazing.
So, I guess what you just said is framing Uncharted more as the experience than the characters.
Like, it did hit all the beats that Uncharted has, and granted, the Nathan Drake trilogy is so centered around Nathan Drake, and he's very integral. This shows that that Naughty Dog, as developers, as story writers, they have the ability to create incredible characters that you care for.
Yeah.
And, like, even way more than you think you should.
Okay, sweet. Speaking Maybe of, I gotta play it.
I think we had some questions.
I think we'll skip spoilers altogether. I think you've summarized it pretty well there without needing to talk spoilers.
All right, let me just pull up. We had some questions. Dave Chataway asks, is The Lost Legacy a continuation of Uncharted 4? As I mentioned, yes, it is. It takes place pretty much right after. Well, not right after, a little bit after. Mm-hmm. So all the actions that take place in Uncharted 4 do come across. Where are we? All these things are just going everywhere. I get too many notifications. Jake Donovan asks, loved Uncharted 4. Am I going to love this as much? It all comes down to what you love about Uncharted. As much as I love Nathan Drake, I think Nathan Drake is an incredible character. And that... he's one of my favorite video game characters to ever exist.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that I went and bought Collector's Edition. I normally don't buy them, but I needed that fucking Nathan Drake statue.
Yeah, I got it too.
So it depends on what you love about it, Jake. If you love Nathan Drake and that's what you love about it, then you might be disappointed. You might not have that same level of just, you know, awesome. But if you love how it plays and how Naughty Dog has the ability to write tremendous characters, you know, even in a short 7 hour, you know, 7 hours is not by any stretch a short game, but it...
Articulate. Come on.
They can still get majority of that character growth and development that you get out of it. The easiest way to say about this is, this is not really spoilers, but...
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you 100% sure?
Yeah. So, what they've essentially got is just some of the big plot points that what Uncharted feels like. Not plot points, as in, like, the key things that make an Uncharted game, they have just picked them and made it into a shorter experience.
Uncharted games only run about 10 hours anyway, as it is.
So normally when you play Uncharted, there's a little bit of a slow burn at the start, which is just building up characters, setting up the scene. This didn't really have that. It had a little bit setting up Chloe and where she's at and why she's in India. And then there's a really quite abrasive cut, but you know, as in like visual cut, that's been here to here, and you're like, whoa. And that
a new Game of Thrones style cut.
And then the momentum's a little bit weird there, but then it continues on very well.
It sounds nice to play an Uncharted game that's not focused around Drake.
Yeah, don't get me wrong.
As much as he is pivotal to
If Nathan Drake rocked up...
wouldn't have complained.
That's not spoilers. He doesn't rock up. What do you expect?
They said previously that Nathan Drake
isn't showing up. So if he did, the game would have been even better. But like that's the thing. There's a little bit of weird pacing at the start, and it feels kind of like... I think you gave this analogy the other day from someone else's review. So if you were to have... three parts that make an Uncharted game, like the first, middle, and the end, it is essentially the middle part taken out.
And no, my analogy was it was the middle part of the game without the start and the end.
Yeah.
That's what I rehearsed.
Yeah, so if there was three parts of a game, like if the game was one thing, you cut off the first and the last third, you get the sweet chunk in the middle.
The big middle part, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you finished it.
I thought it was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah. So, look, honestly, I said thank you so much, PlayStation Australia, for letting us, you know, get hands on this a week early.
Yeah. If you are listening to this on the day it comes out, Monday morning, check out our YouTube because we will be streaming it.
Yeah,
Monday
tonight on this 8 o'clock, I'll be streaming the first 20 minutes.
That's all we're allowed. We're
only allowed to stream 20 minutes, and that's fine. But yeah, come chat with us, and I can give you more information on the stream. If you have very specific questions, let me know on the stream, and I'm more than happy to talk about them.
Speaking of questions.
You gotta like not tell me to put my phone down. I should get these fucking printed. That's what I need to do.
Yeah, you should. You just yelling at Dylan for it last week. For popcorn. Get a piece of paper, write it all down, so you have to keep looking at your phone.
Yeah, but he's a dong. Max asks, does a game live or die by its art or graphic style? I.e., would Horizon Zero Dawn have been just as amazing if it was cel-shaded like Borderlands 2? What games could work with different styles?
Now, to take Horizon for the example, I would say yes, it could have been. Because as much as Horizon is a very beautiful game, what I enjoyed about it more was the gameplay and the characters and the story, not the graphics. But you know, graphics are a huge part of a game's identity as well. If you took Call of Duty and gave it the Borderlands cel shader treatment, it'd be fucking trash because that's not the identity of Call of Duty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Me, what do you think?
I think it did. I think the graphics does play a very integral role. And I think the tone of the game would have completely altered if it was something different.
Mm.
Simply because, although it is a futuristic post-apocalyptic game, it is very much based in the real world.
Mm.
So if it looked cartoonish or not, quote-unquote, real in any way, it would instantly lose all of its impact. Not all of its impact, it would take a big hunk out of its impact.
It's hard to say in retrospect because we've already experienced Horizon as it is.
Mm.
If it, from the very start, had a different graphic style, I think there would be no expectation for anything different.
Yeah. But for me, I have a PS4 Pro and a 4K TV. Like, I am the target audience for pretty shit.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I've been quite vocal is that graphics don't... They're just not for me. If the graphics are good, fucking awesome. Great. I think
they certainly are.
But for me personally... I need glasses, for example. I need glasses to see and to drive. I should be wearing them now because I can't even see us on the little camera screen there. But half the time when I'm playing my PlayStation, I'm not wearing them because the fidelity of the graphics doesn't worry me most of the time. I wear them when I play Overwatch
it's weird.
Well, Overwatch...
No, it's like, weird that you don't wear your glasses because everything's haze.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, glasses. Maybe
that's why graphics aren't a big thing for me because I'm so accustomed...
You're just used to everything being blurry.
Everything being shit. But no, like... For me, games have always been about, you know, story and presentation and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And graphics are supplementary to a game.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. An incredible game lives or dies by its story and its gameplay. Now, graphics are they are an integral role because they can help those other two.
Yeah, it's a supplementary.
It's a Venn diagram. In that Venn diagram, you need the graphics for that perfect circle in the middle. Or a graphic that complements... the other two.
Yeah. I think what you're best doing in terms of, you know, designing a game, figure out your story, figure out your setting, and then decide the graphic style that would
suit. Like Stardew Valley, right? Stardew Valley, it's, you know, side 2D, you know,
isometric.
Isometric-y, you know, like it really benefits that game because it's a simple game. You know what I mean?
But like, you wouldn't complain if Stardew had The Witcher 3 graphics, though, would you?
No, I wouldn't. You know, no, an example is like I played Farming Simulator, you know, which can run at 4K and it's very visually pretty, but it's because it's a farming simulator, that's where its strength is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Next question.
Yeah.
Next and final question, I should say. Comes from Jess. Kids games. With Disney Infinity being discontinued in 2016 and Activision having no plans to add to their Skylanders games, do you think that we are at a point where the games industry is no longer looking at children as a potential market? As you know, I have two boys who love to game, but to find games that are A, appropriate for their ages, and B, not Minecraft is getting extremely hard. Thank God, thank goodness for emulators. It feels as if even though consoles were marketed as toys way back whenever, they have grown to a point that they feel exclusive to adults, those who have grown with the video game industry. What is your take on this?
Now, I think Minecraft has made everyone give up trying to make new fucking games for kids because it just dominates so
I think
much.
For me, the average age of the gamer is 33. You know what I mean? This isn't the 80s anymore. This isn't the early 90s. You know... Uncharted Lost Legacy wouldn't have existed back then because they were like, there is no market for this.
The target audience for gamers is not kids, it's the people who grew up with the games. That's our generation. That is the target audience. We knew it from as long as we can remember for the most part, brings us into now. So, you know, we're lifelong committed. Now, on finding games for kids that's appropriate, don't take ratings as what's appropriate or not. We've discussed it before. You know, as a parent, it's up to you to decide what's appropriate for your kid. You know what they can take. You know what's too much. You know, you know what, you know the games, you know the elements in a game that you don't want them to see. So I've said, use this analogy before, GTA 5, my 8-year-old kid would never play it because there's too much of everything in that game. You know what I mean? A bit like violence he can take, but not the sensory overload of violence and sex and swearing and gore and all of that in one massive fucking package in his face. That's too much. But for example, a couple of hours before we recorded this, my son, he's 8, fired up Bioshock for the first time. He had the time of his life when he falls off the ledge and the little sister and the big daddy comes and then the big daddy like skewers that guy on the wall with his hand thing. He's like, "Dad, this is radical." I'm like, "Yeah, it is, man." But I do get what you're saying, and I've bought a lot of games for him over the years that are targeted at kids, but you know, for his age bracket, and they hold his interest for like an hour. And then he never touches it, with the exception of Minecraft, of course. We still go back to that every now and then. I think it's difficult because Minecraft does have such a big stranglehold on that demographic of gamer, the age 4 to 12, or you know, whatever, however that fits, that it, I could imagine from a publisher's perspective to just be like, don't bother. Minecraft has that market cornered. If there's a game I can suggest, it's not on console, it's on PC. It's called Roblox, R-O-B-L-O-X. It's an online game where you make your avatar, you log in. It's like, it is an MMO, but it does have extremely good parental controls. The game is targeted at kids. And from what I've seen, the Roblox owners handle that extremely well, where there's just mini games galore. And you take your avatar through all these different mini games with 10, 15 other kids and all that. Out of everything my son plays, from Overwatch to Call of Duty to Bioshock to Uncharted, Roblox is his favorite game because every time he logs into it, it's a brand new experience for him. And it is exactly his demographic as well. But yeah, I think to summarize that, Minecraft just has a stranglehold on kids. And I can see why publishers don't want to touch it.
We're in such a good time now to be a gamer, to be a gamer parent, right? There is games everywhere for everyone. If you hunt, you will find them. And a lot of the reason a lot of kids game, quote unquote, kids games aren't being marketed, there's no money. Like, there is, quote unquote, there's money in them, but you can't microtransactions kid games, man. Like, we
say that to the smartphone.
No, but
business.
I'm saying people that are between 20 and 40, we are like gamers, disposable income. We're the ones that will be buying multiple games a year. You know,
I just spent $20 on Gwent.
Exactly.
I bought 15 card packs because I'm loving the game.
Yeah.
I love CD Projekt Red, and I feel like they deserve a little bit of money for the amount of time I've gotten out of the game so far. Yeah. $20.
See, and as a business, you obviously want to make more money, and you know, kids don't have money, and like that's the horriblest thing. And you know, a lot of developers, as the gaming industry grows, and what we're capable of, the story and the gameplay, all these grow, they change. You know, as in, like, you can't get that depth of a story, or you know, in a kids game. Granted, there have been kids game that I've played and I thoroughly enjoy. It's just, I don't think in terms of the game's art can't be done in a kids game.
Well, to bounce off your point as well, you know, we've seen just last week with microtransactions, Shadow of War, a single player game, now you can give it extra money.
Yeah.
You can't put that into kids. Like, the version of microtransactions for kids were Toys to Life. Skylanders and Disney Infinity and all that. That was microtransactions. You know, you spend $7 and get a new character. It's no different to playing like Marvel Heroes Omega, where you do the same thing. But yeah, it's like kids don't have money. Parents get sick of spending money on all these little toys and stuff. I get what you're saying.
It's a cynical way to look at it, but the way the industry is structured right now, and how the industry relies on getting its money to maintain the industry, then they're not the right demographic.
Well, you can't sell that.
Yeah, you can't have games as a service for children.
No, and yeah, not only that, not only to make money, but make more money than they would have 5 years ago off the same title because of how the industry has changed with season pass and DLC and transactions.
However, there is Nintendo.
Yeah.
99% of the games Nintendo release are E for everyone.
Or T for teen at the moment.
T for teen. Yeah. Like, Nintendo, they still hold that part strong.
Yeah.
To
yeah,
their credit.
For sure. You know, even so, in Minecraft, you can always buy skin packs and texture packs and all that kind of stuff as well. Yeah, I get it. But I guess... I'm not sure how old Jess's kids are.
Wade is 2, Axe is 6.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, my son's got a couple years on it where I think he's bridged that gap from needing kids' games to be able to start moving to other things. So I'm not quite where you are at this time with it, but I do get what you're saying as well. I hope it changes soon.
Nintendo. Yeah. That's your answer. Yeah.
Get a
on
Switch.
On a Sony show.
Sorry, Sony. Buy Nintendo.
And before we jump into the drop and we talk about what games are coming to the players, there's a little thing that you wanted to bring in called From the Trailers.
From the Trailers. This will be a segment, hopefully every week, if there's anything worth it. Trailers that we want you to check out. So today, we got a trailer for Fishing Planet. Now, this game comes out at the end of August. It's a fishing game. Very nice graphics, really cool looking fishing game.
Apparently a really cool, like a new fish AI.
Yeah, new fish AI, lots of different tackle options and stuff. And it was a game I saw it announced, I think, a few months ago. It was one of those games you just scroll past. Yeah,
like fishing game.
But I put it on our Facebook group today as a prime example of what a good trailer can do for a game. So Fishing Planet launched a new trailer as today or yesterday, where the trailer has...
At time of recording, I should say.
If you weren't watching the trailer and you just were listening, you'd swear it was a Call of Duty trailer.
You'd swear it was epic. Cinematic experience.
Had some metal guitar. The trailer is rad. And it
even opens with a...
Yeah, like an Inception moi, or a Batman moi, or every other blockbuster movie moi. highly recommend checking out that trailer. We're going to try to get ourselves a copy and stream it. We've got a very fun stream planned. Should we be able to get a copy? Another trailer.
Even if we can't, just for the fun stream, I may just pick it up.
Yeah. Second trailer, we've got 3. As we mentioned in the news, We Happy Few got a new trailer with all the new info that came out this week. Mm-hmm. So it's worth checking out that trailer as well. And the last trailer I would like you to check out is the new Monster Hunter trailer. Monster Hunter Worlds, and it did.
This was the one that was announced at the Sony conference in E3.
There's a title for this trailer, and I had it. Monster Hunter World Wild Spire Waste trailer. I'm so pumped for this game, and this trailer just like upped it by 5 notches.
Nice. What's the trailer do? What's it say? What's it sell?
It's a new area, like the wild something wastes. It's like a deserty kind of area. I think it's just showing a different area that we haven't seen yet through the footage we've seen yet, new monsters that we haven't seen yet. Just the scope just seems incredible. I can't wrap my head around it. Remember like Shadow of the Colossus? Not that we played it, but that scope of, you know, you being a little like boy. Seems to have that, but it's very fast-paced instead of it being slow and lumbering. So I'm keen as mustard. Check out those 3 trials. We Happy Few, Fishing Planet, Monster Hunter Worlds, Wild Something Wastes.
Yeah, but those games aren't out for a while, except for Real Fishing comes at the end of this week.
Fuck yeah.
But this are the games that are coming to you this week.
I really hate doing this part.
I love this part. I'm going to be honest. Bad.
Starting from the top for the drop, Bleed, PS4 Digital, Book of Regrets, PS4 Digital. Seems to have Jason on the cover.
You have Book of Regrets for having to read this thing.
It's the Bible. Chromagun, PS4 Digital, Duck Game, PS4. Look at that thumbnail.
Oh my God, that thumbnail. It's a duck
in the
holding
air.
A small submachine gun, but it's anthropomorphic, so it looks like a human, and it's doing an incredible jump... Duck Game is the only frantic 4-player brawler with a dedicated quack button. Enter the futuristic year of 1984, an age where ducks run wild in a frantic battle of glory in both local and online competitive play.
It might be fun.
That sounds
rad. It might be worth checking out the trailer for it after this. The Escapist 2, PS4 Digital and Retail.
Dude, I love The Escapist. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I did reach out to the PR team here in Australia about... A month ago, I was super keen when they announced the date. I'm like,
please.
Hey. No, I haven't got back to them since. I'll have to reach out.
Craft, steal, brawl, and escape. It's time to bust out of the toughest prisons in the world as you return to life of an inmate in The Escapist 2. Have you got what it takes to escape?
When that code comes through, we stream the shit out of that one too.
Hell yeah. F1 2017, PS4 Digital and Retail. Jack and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy, PS2. Well, the PS2 game, PS4 Digital.
That comes with the pre-order for Lost Legacy.
So if you want Lost Legacy and Jak and Daxter for free, pre-order before It comes out on Thursday. Thursday. Enter a world of magic, adventure, exploration, and discovery where enormous vistas and exotic characters lead you to places beyond your imagination. This classic PS2 adventure is free if you pre-order Uncharted The Lost Legacy. It's right there. You're never big on Jack and Daxter.
Never played the Jack and Daxter.
Really?
No.
Loved them as a kid. Absolutely loved them. I played Jack and Daxter more than I played Crash back then. Yeah. Madden NFL 2018, PS4 digital and retail. Majors of Mistralia.
Mistralia.
Should have been Australia. Yeah, Mistralia. PS4 digital. Okay.
Get ready.
I apologize for the next five titles, but I'm going to read them verbatim. Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm PS4 Digital. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 2 PS4 Digital. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 Full Burst PS4 Digital. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Legacy PS4 Retail. Throw a spanner in the works there. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Trilogy PS4 Digital. And then the next game, fittingly, is called Never End on PS Vita Digital. One Piece Unlimited World Red PS4 Digital. Soul Dimension PSVR Digital. We always read VR games, so through its artistic design, this puzzle game will allow players to enter a thrilling adventure. The adventure will be a mixture of suspenseful puzzle and dramatic action game.
Interesting.
Well, I didn't really say much about it.
Nope.
Spartan PS4 Digital. Super Combo Man Smash Edition PS4 Digital. Swap Quest PS4 Digital.
Swamp Quest, mate. That sounds way more fun.
Now this one you were interested in.
Yeah.
Thimbleweed Park PS4 Digital. In Thimbleweed Park, a dead body is the least of your problems. Switch between five playable characters to uncover the surreal secrets of this strange town in a modern mystery adventure game from the creators of Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion.
So yeah, from the imagery, so it's if it's the game I'm thinking of, there's a lot of, it's like 16-bit kind of.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine.
And there's characters that really look like Modern Scully.
The thumbnail, they look like Modern Scully. Like,
bing!
But I'd imagine a place exactly like Monkey Island did, which was, Monkey Island was fucking huge back when it came out. Right. Such a big game. Uncharted The Lost Legacy, PS4 Digital and Retail. In order to recover an ancient artifact and keep it out of the hands of a ruthless warmonger, Chloe must enlist the aid of renowned mercenary Nadine Ross and venture to India's Western Ghats to locate the Golden Tusk of Ganesh. And final game, Velocity 2X Critical Mass Edition, PS4, PS Vita Digital. Obviously, the big one in that list is Uncharted The Lost Legacy.
Yay!
The Escapist, I'm interested in.
I suppose that's my biggest reference.
As I was saying before we started the show and we quickly ran through this, The Escapist is a very big game for YouTubers.
Mm.
Huge. So my son has his favourite YouTubers, probably five of them. Every single one of them playing it. No, we're not one of them. We're not suitable. Every single one of them are playing it, so he's watched five different people play the same fucking game, but he likes it. So I've had enough of it for now, but I might pick it up later. And
that's got multiplayer, so we could stream it together.
We could. And Duck Game might be the sleeper hit of the week. I'm keen to check out that trailer. I'm really keen to check out that trailer.
Anyway, let us know when you pick up Uncharted The Lost Legacy. Now, as always, I drop in the comments and I always respond to all the comments.
Good man.
So if you have any further questions about Uncharted Lost Legacy, chuck them down below. I'll be more than happy to jump in them with you.
Speaking of questions, if you would like a question read out on either this show for the players or Popcorn, our movie podcast, you can do so at www.thepopculturist.com/questions. Probably should have gone into the full spiel there, and now I've just fucked myself up.
Go from top.
If you would like to also join in the PlayStation conversation, you can do so every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. More conversation happens over at our Facebook community group, facebook.com/groups/thepopculturist. But the most conversation happens on our Discord channel. Jump over to the previously mentioned Facebook group. You'll find the link to join our Discord. But if you really like what we do, please head over to our Patreon page. Check out the tiers there. There might be something there that interests you. Fucking nailed it.
I'm Ryan Besson.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players.